Hello and welcome to Owning It, the podcast that celebrates the inspiring choices made by women who refuse to simply follow the crowd and chose the road less traveled. I'm your host, Sandhya Tukaram, and in each episode, we'll have real conversations with these incredible women who choose to carve their own path because following just isn't an option. They may not be making headlines, but every one of them is a role model. So join me and let's explore the power of choice and the inspiration it brings right here on Owning It.
Chitra Iyer is the Chief Executive Officer at MFA, a career that began by chance while focusing on the needs of her special needs son, soon became her purpose. Her story of embracing a difficult new reality, finding joy in the world it opened up for her, and creating communities of support is all about owning it.
Hi, Chitra. Thank you for joining me on Owning It. I was thinking about our conversation and where to start. I wanted to think of a few questions to ask you. And then as I thought about it, I said, no, I think I want the story to unfold naturally. But I do want to start with what you're doing right now. You do help families with children with special needs to manage financially. So maybe that's where we'll start. Tell me a bit more about that and how you started doing this, and then we'll take it forward.
Thank you for having me, Sandhya, first of all. I've heard your podcast and some really inspiring women you've spoken to. I run a company called MFA Capital, which has been catering to families with helping them manage their money. I run the company and we have a team, beautiful team of 70 people. And it's been amazing meeting so many families over the years, understanding what they want from their money, sitting them down to understand and make them understand, make them articulate what they want their money to do for them in their lifetime and even after it. I came into this field of financial planning because of my son. He was born in 1998, and there was a diagnosis of him being a special needs kid, cerebral palsy and autism that came in a matter of 2 to 3 years post-birth. He was racked severely with epilepsy, and the first initial phase of her life just went into dealing with all that and figuring out, you know, what we're going to do for him. I bumped into the founder of the company when I was waiting with my son outside his school. You know how mothers wait outside. And I was on a complete break from my career. I never even thought of getting back to work. I finished my career in corporate banking for the last, you know, 20 years before him. And this gentleman just called me and asked me, what do you do? And I shared about, you know, how I'm there because my son is in the school there, and I've been waiting out. And, you know, I was reading a book that he was also reading. And the book was called Tools to a Paperless Office. Okay, so that's not something that people read usually. And he was also reading the same book, and that's what got us connected. Even till this date, he says, you know, nobody introduced us. It was because of that book that, you know, we're not talking. Yeah, I went in and I shared with him about, you know, my life situation, what's happening and what I had done in life and what my hubby was doing. And he immediately asked me that, would you like to join me? I'd never come across, you know, financial planning, but the way he explained to me that people, especially in our country, as well as even across the world, when it comes to money, there's a lot of pushing of products that happen. You get calls every day, you get people from the bank, you get people from insurance companies, from stockbrokers who call up and say, would you like to do this? Would you like to invest your money here? Whereas he explained the process of financial planning as, you know, when you sit down and help a person think about, what do I need money for? What does money mean to me? How important is it to you? And you ask these very beautiful questions. It's then that they also start thinking. When people realize that, oh my God, I've never thought about this way. And, you know, the conversation goes in such a way that there's nothing to do with products, but it's to do with entire your feeling for money. He took me through this process and said that this is the way you should actually do it. And it was mind blowing for me. I went back and I told my hubby, listen, you have to come meet this guy. The way he's talking, we both are commerce graduates. I'm a cost accountant, but nobody has ever explained to me about money this way. So we went back, met him. We signed up as clients, and he was very understanding about our needs for our son. Okay. And post that, immediately he offered me a flexi option to work, and I started working. So I finished with 17 and a half years in this company, and I'm the CEO today. Around 2000, we set up a parent support group called Forum for Autism. It's a bunch of parents, predominantly mothers, who got together post the diagnosis of autism for their children, encouraged by our developmental pediatrician and the neurologist. And they said that, you know, please, you guys are the ones who can handhold each other. You will be able to save a lot of time for a new parent who gets a diagnosis. You will be able to point them in the right direction. And those days, you know, there wasn't as much of stuff available on the internet also. I used to read a lot. I've read so many books on autism and on, you know, child development and what to do, what not to do and all of that. When I started talking about how I've gone about building a corpus for ourselves and for our son, some parents started approaching me and said that, hey, you know, will you do this for me also? Would you do this for us also? That's when I set up a pure team at our company, as encouraged by my founder, Amar, that do something for parents and do something for special needs parents, because they have to plan and invest for children long after they are gone. Parents who have gone through this entire journey with their children, who then become adults, also start looking to figure how can their child be independent of them. And they're looking around for options right from, you know, so what if something happens to me tomorrow? What if I drop dead tomorrow, you know? And is there somebody going to be there who's going to step into my shoes, going to understand exactly what is needed for my child? So I designed this whole process around this, where you know, it's called the special needs practice in my team, and we have already met 500 plus families, and we are guiding them with this entirely. So this entire team is only dedicated to helping, sitting down with the family to help them understand how much do they feel that they're spending, how much are they actually spending today, and in the future with inflation, what's going to be the actual corpus that they would need, and therefore how much do they need to invest today.
That's amazing. I mean, just listening to you, you realize how much we take for granted. I was just thinking, oh my God, if I have to live till 100, I better get my financial planning together and my act. And this is just in a regular circumstance. So people with other challenges have to plan and think so much more. But I want to stay with you in a sense, Chitra. One is, you had a chance meeting, and in a sense, it changed the course of your life, and it's a purpose linked to something that you were in a sense attached to, right? What you're doing now. But I want to talk about the shift you needed to make as a young mother with a special needs child, and the emotional shift you needed to make while also balancing the financial challenges that came along.
Yeah, it was huge, you know. Since we got to know about the diagnosis, it's like a heartbreaking moment, you know, when you get to know that things are not going to be as you expected. And it's like literally you were planning to land in a particular country and you land somewhere else. And it takes time to come to terms with that. Okay, that place might also, even there's nothing wrong with the place. It's just that you were aiming at a place and, you know, you were glad of somewhere else. And even this is a good place to, you know, get to know. So there's a very, very deep emotion there, you know, which is pitying yourself, that can literally drag you down. The more you think and feel that, you know, why me, and, you know, go into that conversation and all those thoughts, it can suck the energy out of you. Thankfully, you know, both me and more because of my husband, Ravi, he's always been extremely positive. and he's been my pillar of support. That we both just bounced off each other, and I said that okay, fine. Now that we're here, we need to move on. So it was more about we accepted very quickly that this is going to be a part of our life, and we need to figure what we can do to help our son immediately. Starting right now. So that whole phase of this emotional journey was that you have to keep it in abeyance. So we just took off from there, and at his age three and a half, when we got to know, when we were doing like every 6 months, we were doing his EEGs and figuring out his epilepsy. We were doing 6 monthly MRIs to figure what's going wrong and to get a whole sense of it. Alongside, we started off with therapy. Like it literally like you hit the floor running. That's what we did. I mean, I was in therapy places, once a day in every single physiotherapy or speech therapy or an occupational therapy. He used to drive me around, and I used to come back home, and then I was doing therapy 4 times a day, at home. And everything was centered just around what can we do. And I was reading so much, and I was demanding from the therapist that now what, next what? Like, for example, they teach the child to go on four. So as if you've seen a child from the creeping position to go on to a crawl, they figure it takes time. They go back and forth, and then they go there. So for him, we had to teach him, hold his belly up, and then, teach him to take bare weight on his hands and legs. So once he got that, when I felt that he was already there, I was again asking, now what will you do? What will you teach next? What will you teach next? And then they would say, now we will teach him to push himself to sit. Then they'll say, now what next? Now we'll teach him to pull him up to on his knees, and then I will teach him to stand. And it was so painful because it was so tough on him. He's a damn happy child, I can't tell you, Sandhya, he wakes up in the morning with just this smile about yay, alive. And this whole journey of the physio to get him, get his limbs moving was so painful. He used to howl and cry. And as a parent, all I could do was force it on him. So those days were very tough. There are times that, it's like I blank it out. And I don't remember a lot of stuff also. There are sometimes my husband mentions certain things and then I remember, and I still sometimes don't remember also. So yeah, it is really, really crazy. And everything gets replaced, because at a point there's a particular challenge that you're working on, and then there's another challenge in place. So it's only parents of special needs kids who will really realize that you have to keep fighting along the way. There's so much to, overcome. But if you don't have that strong supportive system, like, we have a very, very supportive family. From my side, my parents, my brother, my sister-in-law, my niece, and from my husband's side, his mom, his sisters, they've been like so tight. And now my sons, cousins, all of them, they're so, so tight. It's a call every day, still on a video WhatsApp, to just look at him and say, how are you? So that kind of rallying is so important in the family to, see you through this. So the emotions were thoroughly crazy. But never did they ever say that, hey, we shouldn't go back. We should just sit at home. In fact, it was my husband who had started telling me along that time when I bumped into Amar that, you need to get back to work. Autism is a part of our lives. We have to learn how to live with it. We need to go ahead and do it. And I had fantastic support from him. And again, from Amar at office, I qualified as a certified financial planner. I studied till 2 in the night after my son slept and went ahead with that. I thoroughly enjoyed my work, and that meant, giving lesser time to Shravan. That meant me weaning off and introducing many more people in his life. That meant trusting people, which is huge, because you believe that only you can do the best for your child. Nobody else can. But we got damn lucky, and I can tell you whoever is listening to you, you know, to this podcast, that we have the best therapists in the world in India. People think that, you know, we don't have enough, but we do have the most qualified people here. We have the best doctors, the best pediatricians, developmental pediatricians, neurologists. All of them, you know, they all have to come together. And you, as a parent, you need to know how to get this team entirely, you know, rallying around you with the family to be able to overcome all of this. And to finally become, you know, independent, to be able to step back to such a level today, Sandhya, that my son is virtually not dependent on me. Means there are many people in his life now who have stepped in so beautifully for his daily life skills, for his vocational skills, for, you know, everything, which means toileting, feeding, you know, doing his work. So he makes bookmarks, again around books. To take that decision also, that you cannot be the only one. You need the others to come into his life, to also observe when you're there. You give all of them enough time to be able to spend time with him and to get into the groove with him, so that you know that if something were to happen to you tomorrow, he's sorted and he's fine. I consider myself very lucky. I thank God that, you know, first of all, that Shravan came into our lives. It was completely life-changing for us. I wouldn't have been doing everything that I'm doing today if it weren't for Shravan. I wouldn't have bumped in. I wouldn't have been in that building at all. I wouldn't have been in this career where I am. And I wouldn't have met all these wonderful people or, you know, seen this completely different side of life.
As I listened to you, many things crossed my mind. You know, just again, what a bubble some of us live in. But also the empathy you spoke about, I felt that come through from you. The calmness that's necessary, the letting go of sense. For your child, you also need to let go and allow many people. Was this something you learned, Chitra, or were you this person always, or did you feel, no, you had to become this person?
Yeah, no, I was never like this always. I was pretty impatient, and that was a lovely question, really. And you could say that I used to love to be in control of things even then. And I used to see to it that I'm a very organized person. You know, and I love to be very efficient and get stuff done on time. But at the same time, I have been branded as over-compassionate also. So I had these qualities which would have, you know, hindered a lot of things. But with Shravan coming in and understanding that, you know, I can't be impatient with him and I cannot be in control all the time, because I have to let him control me. I have to learn so much from him. That came with a lot of learning. So essentially, it was first the set of parents as part of Forum for Autism, the older mothers who really coached a lot. They guided me in terms of, you know, how to be a good parent to our son, how to manage life, and, you know, how to, you know, what all will happen. So yeah, these guys, my family, my hubby, all of them were instrumental in helping me understand how I should be with him, how should I be with myself, how I should go about approaching all his needs, all our, you know, family needs, as well as my work. Every step of the way, you know, as I started taking more and more hours at work, because Shravan started getting more and more independent, my husband stepped in a big way in terms of time, you know, because till today, either of us has to be there and we cannot leave Shravan alone at all. So either it is the both of us or it is, you know, special caregiver who has to be there to look after Shravan, because he doesn't, no speech, he's completely nonverbal. He doesn't understand the concept of depth. He has no fear, and he doesn't understand that, you know, something could be dangerous. So we can't even leave him alone in the house, you know, because we're always scared that he might land up doing something that he doesn't know, you know, that could be bad for him. I wasn't this person, I've completely changed. Every day is learning.
And you continue to learn because even his needs change, right? As he grows, and then you'll have to adapt to those needs, and you don't know if you're prepared for that, and you have to learn new skills. But I want to stay with one thought, Chitra, as I was listening to you. You said you used to be a lot in control, or liked being in control, and but you had to give that up. And yet at the same time, when you have to plan for a future beyond you, it does need a bit of control in that sense. So how do you think about this in the context of where you are and the next 5 years? Because in a sense, you have to plan more than most people.
True, you know, I have to be a fantastic planner, and only that will see to it that things get done. But at the same time, you know, allowing others to come in. So it's a lot of delegation, right? To get work done and to be without micromanaging. So I have to step back as that only leader and allow the others to go ahead, so that, you know, I can empower and make them much, much way more better than me, so that they can, you know, do the right things. And that is kind of, it's hitting all the facets of my life. Not just, you know, Bhoshravan, but my work, my personal, everything, where, you know, you gradually that whole control thing quietens down, and you're allowing everyone else to take control, and you're just helping them to be able to deliver better.
But can you think about 5 years from now?
Oh, yes. While it is very much interlinked with Shravan, there's a project that I'm working on with our group, which is a residential project, okay, for families of children with special needs, where we're working with the builder to set up an entire infrastructure. The families can go and stay in there. And we also build a residential home for our children. So at a point in time, the parents want to wean off their kid. They can just stay. They can see that as they are living, their kids have gone to stay independently in another building, which is just by the side. Eventually, when the parent passes away, it's the other parents who continue taking care of the other children, who don't have their parents anymore. So this is something which is what I'm working on.
It's like a community. It's a community. Yeah.
A residential home. Yeah. So that's coming up. And other than that, I can only keep pushing at trying to make him more and more independent. And at my end, you know, we love to travel. So we want to go back to traveling what we used to do pre-COVID. So that's what I'm really looking forward to. And also to take some time off to just read and paint. That's a big thing that, you know, has to come back as part of my entire regimen.
Thank you. Chitra, I'm sure many people who listen to this will have lots to take away from. I really enjoyed our conversation. Having a special needs child, like for anybody else, is very, very challenging. For someone who hasn't had that experience, I will not be able to even imagine it. However, what I love is that you said this is the life. You are grateful for what he brought to you, and the joy, and the fact that it led to so many opportunities for you. Yourself, apart from being his mother. I love that you've owned it.
Thoroughly happy with the way life has turned out.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us on Owning It. With every conversation with women who are taking control of their narrative, I'm constantly inspired. Don't forget to tune into the next conversation with yet another woman choosing her own path and owning it.